It's All Things Considered on 91.9 FM WUOT. I'm Brandon Hollingsworth. Was it just bad luck that year of 13? It was the worst year for historic preservation in my reporting career, and it somehow packed a few fresh disappointments about long-anticipated new projects. The words of Metro Pulse columnist Jack Neely. For someone as dedicated to Knoxville's history as Jack, 2013 was not a good year. His most recent book, Knoxville, Green by Nature, explores the promise and problems of urban development in the area. Earlier today, Jack Neely explained why 2013 was a year in which historic preservation stumbled, starting with the University of Tennessee's decision to tear down historic homes as part of an expansion project.
Yeah, well, it was, I guess, one of the most tangible examples of demolition and loss. Even though that one has been in the works for 15 years. I remember discussing this with UT administrators back in the 90s. And at the time, they were saying, well, we just have to do this. But if we do this, we're not going to have to expand anymore. That's the good thing about tearing down these buildings is that we won't have to expand anymore. And that policy apparently has changed in the last couple of years to allow them to expand more. But all this time, I'd always been hoping that someone would look at these buildings and see the value of them. One is an old 1920s apartment building that could have been used for that purpose again. One was a 1907 apartment building, which had some real history to it. And one of them, which is actually the one still standing, is the home of Weston Fulton, one of the most famous businessman inventors in Knoxville history. He invented this device, which is still used in air conditioners, called the Silphon. It's not called that anymore, but he's the guy that founded the Fulton Bellows plant, which is now being redeveloped for the Walmart Publix space down there by Third Creek. But that was his home at the time that he was just building his business and becoming famous. And it was later UT's first, it was called UT Hospital, believe it or not, in 1930 or so. But that building is still an interesting old building, and that actually Fulton donated to the university as a memorial to his son, who was a UT student who was killed in a car wreck.
The stories that you're telling point out something that's significant, I think, about these historic structures, and that's that they don't just exist in the way that we think of them today. They have past lives. They have past histories and stories to tell on their own. What's the cost of losing these buildings?
It's the stuff that Knoxville is. The city's made up of its old buildings, and buildings are stories. They remind us that this is a fairly complex place. This is not just a place of parking garages and big concrete buildings, the kind of stuff we build today. This is a place with some resonance where things have happened, a wide variety of things over the years, and it's never been just been one thing or another. Also, we lose, lots of things we lose. We lose value in terms of the materials they built these buildings with, which are not possible to replicate today in many respects. But mainly, I think we just lose the fabric. We lose bits of what makes the city itself, and things to point to that remind us of stories. Even for the university, a lot of these buildings have importance in the history of the University of Tennessee that is almost forgotten. The buildings on White Avenue, for example, which are currently threatened, and which I didn't know were threatened until about a year and a half ago. These are buildings that are important to UT's history. One was the home of Charles Ferris, for whom there's an engineering building named. And one is the home of Cooper Schmidt, who is one of the most beloved UT professors in history. And his son was also a UT alum, Bernadotte Schmidt, who was a historian and one of the Rhodes Scholars and Pulitzer Prize winners that UT boasts about justifiably and among its alumni.
Is there one demolition that took place in 2013 that you feel like was the most egregious or the one that cost the city the most in terms of its historical value?
I was especially frustrated with the buildings on Walnut Street. We knew that the buildings on UT campus were threatened and it was going to be a miracle if they were saved. But the ones on Walnut Street, I didn't know were threatened until a couple of years ago. And they were in pretty good shape compared to most buildings that have been saved downtown. And we have to remember that downtown, this is one of the most important reasons to preserve buildings, that downtown and most of the good press and publicity that Knoxville has gotten in the last 20 years, and in fact, I would say since the World's Fair, has been based on things that have happened in old buildings. Downtown's revival has happened almost entirely, except for the movie theater, in old buildings, not just old buildings, but buildings built before 1930 mainly. Well, these were two of the last undeveloped buildings downtown, unredeveloped buildings downtown, that were in good shape, good enough shape to be preserved, and they had been there had been offers from preservationists, extraordinarily unusual offers, to restore the buildings at no cost to the church that owned them. That was finally rejected, and not just rejected, but seemed to be ignored, and the buildings were torn down.
Torn down to make way, I think, for a parking lot.
Well, you know, they go back and forth about what it's for, but it's in the short term, it's just going to be empty space, and we don't really know what they're going to do there in the long term.
Now, there are people who would inevitably, I think, Jack, say, look, this is the cost of progress. Cities evolve, they change. If you look at New York or San Francisco or Dallas or Chicago, they're not all made of the buildings that were there at the very founding of those cities. You know, if you want to have modern life in a city, you got to, you know, break a few eggs. What would you say to that?
Of course, you're right. And I think that in many cases, in fact, the first time I heard the Walnut Street buildings were being torn down, I thought, that's too bad. What are they going to build there? That could be something great. And haven't heard about it yet. You know, so many times we've torn buildings down for progress. And I actually wrote a whole article about this. This has happened at least a dozen times that buildings have been torn down for a big project that never got built. And they said, gosh, look at these. They had drawings. They're going to do this and that. And got people excited about this wonderful new construction they're going to have. And then they just didn't do it. They somehow had enough money to tear down the buildings, but then ran out of money before they actually built the building. So it became a parking lot, another parking lot, another parking lot. And we've seen this just over and over and over. It's nauseating. We've lost so much for things that never happened. And lately, things are just torn down and without any great big plans. You know, they're with plans that are very ordinary buildings to take their place.
What changes would you suggest to raise the profile of historic preservation in the city? What do you think is missing from the way it's being done now?
It's weird to have to think about this because a couple of years ago I thought, well, gosh, we're in this place that we're not tearing down buildings anymore. Everybody's on the same on board. Everybody's here together and on this, and we see the obvious value of saving old buildings. And I think that maybe we need to start looking at something institutionally to review demolitions or review demolition proposals and delay them and discuss them and talk about them. Through either the Downtown Design Review Board or something, maybe a new organization of some kind, maybe a city architect's office, maybe, and that would assure that, you know, something worthwhile is going to take the place of these buildings.
After a somewhat dismal 2013 for historic preservation, in your view, what do you think the prospects are for 2014?
Yeah, it's really hard to say. Well, there are some shining lights. The city's, surprising to some, took on, I think, one of the hardest preservation projects with the remaining McClung warehouses on Western Jackson Avenue. Mm-hmm. And that may bode well for something there. It's going to take a great big project to make that work, but we're going to be watching that to see what happens. We're wondering about the Prior Brown Garage, which is an interesting place. We don't think of a parking garages as being historical in themselves, but this is a 1920s mixed-use parking garage, which was lots of different things in its career. It actually started as a livery stable, and actually in some respects you could even trace its heritage back to the Civil War, because Prior Brown was this guy who started a livery stable, and as he adapted over the years, and by the time he was an old man, it was turning into a parking garage. But this is one of the oldest parking garages in America, believe it or not. There are proposals to make it some new kind of building, repurposing it, but currently the developer just wants to tear it down and expand his current surface parking lot there. And this is the troubling thing about this, that we've been so proud of saving buildings over the last 30 or 40 years. But meanwhile, we're losing, experiencing a net loss in our building stock and our surface parking lots, which we are still expanding. We're still just a little bit here and there, a little bit there, but we're actually losing. Downtown is technically becoming more suburban than it was 20 or 30 years ago, and it's like we just look at the suburbs and say, gosh, let's make downtown sort of suburban too, and have surface parking lots and buildings, you know, farther apart from each other than they were. And It's frustrating to see, because having worked downtown for 30 years, I can see what's happening, what makes people excited. People love buildings. I walk out of my building every day on Gay Street, and every day I see people walking around bumping into each other because they're looking up at the buildings. They're just fascinated with these old places. And some of them are old people who are talking about things they remember, and some of them are young people who are just trying to imagine the place, what it was and what it could be. But this is what is Knoxville to people, and I think we need to respect that.
Jack Neely is the associate editor of Metro Pulse magazine, where his column Secret History runs every week. He's also the author of a brand new book called Knoxville, Green by Nature. Jack Neely, thank you for being with us today on All Things Considered.
Thank you, Brandon.